The law of Moses has been rendered inoperative. Does that mean that we are without any law? Can we simply do as we please as believers? If the law of Moses is no longer in effect, what law is in effect for us as believers in Christ?
Proclaiming Jesus as Messiah, this is The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid, the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis, an evangelical faith missionary organization helping to spread God's love to the Jewish people throughout the Midwest and beyond. Our goal is to help provide you with the tools you'll need to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors. I want to remind you to stay with us through the end of today's broadcast for information on how to receive some free resource material that we'd like to make available to you. But right now, let's rejoin Marty Zeid with A Messianic Voice.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Messianic Voice program. We're coming to you from our headquarters in St. Louis, Missouri, and I'm so glad you've tuned in. We're in the midst of a series on the Mosaic Law, the Law of Moses and the Law of Christ. This is so important for us because our Jewish friends have such a high value and a high view of the Law of Moses, even to the point that they think if they can keep it, and the more they keep it, that's how they obtain a right relationship with God. And we want to be able to show them that that's not why the Law of Moses was given. But there's also confusion with a lot of our Gentile believers as well concerning the Law of Moses, and we're trying to clear up some of those as well. And I have taken a lot of time in trying to share a lot of different reasons as to why the Law of Moses was given. Don't have the time to recap on all of those different points, but please know that there's a wonderful reason why God gave the law. It's a very wonderful portion of the Word of God. I have pointed out, and I've said over and over again, I do believe that the Law of Moses has been rendered inoperative by the death of the Lord Jesus when he said, "It is finished." The continuance of the Law of Moses was put to an end, and we are under a new law, as we are going to discuss concerning what is called the Law of Christ. But right now, we are in what I've called some biblical facts about the Law of Moses. And I've given two of them so far in our last study. So just by way of review, I pointed out that the Mosaic Law was never meant to be permanent, but only temporary. And Paul points this out in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19, when he said, "Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed should come." And of course, that seed, according to verse 16, is the person of the Lord Jesus. Once he came and shed his blood on the cross and he said, "It is finished," there was no more of a need for the law of Moses. But someone might ask, but what about Matthew 5, 17 and 19? And this is where Jesus made the statement, "Until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished." And I believe that's true. I believe that while the Lord Jesus was on the earth, the full law of Moses was still operative. But until all was accomplished, and that I believe is referring to his death, and when he said "it is finished," that the law of Moses was no longer necessary and done away with. I don't believe the law of Moses ended with his life, but ended with his death. And as long as Jesus was still alive, he was under the law of Moses. So when he made that statement in Matthew 5, 17 and 19, it was made while he was still alive. But when he said "it is finished," the Mosaic law became inoperative. Another biblical fact about the Mosaic law was that Jesus, because he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, required a new law because he couldn't function under the law of Moses as a priest. He is a priest today, not under the Aaronic priesthood, because Jesus was not from the tribe of Levi. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. And you couldn't function as a priest under the Aaronic priesthood as coming from the tribe of Judah. You had to be from the tribe of Levi. So it's no longer necessary for the law of Moses to be in effect for Jesus to continue on in his priesthood, because he is according to another order, the order of Melchizedek. And the point that we left off with last time concerning the Mosaic law is that the Mosaic law, and this is according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, was the middle wall of partition that is spoken of by Paul. And he says that this is now broken down. This middle wall of partition is no more. It's broken down. Let me read Ephesians 2, 14 and 15, where it says, "For he himself is our peace." Now that's referring to the Lord Jesus. He is our peace, who made both groups, that's referring to Jewish people and Gentile people, into one. It says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both groups into one, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity." And he tells us what this is, which is the law of commandments. That's the law of Moses, contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. The law of Moses, which has caused enmity between Jewish people and Gentiles, has been rendered inoperative. So in Christ, Jewish people and Gentiles are one because of him. So the hostility between the Jewish people and the Gentiles have been destroyed, and this was accomplished by rendering the law inoperative. I'd like to quote here from an individual who wrote a wonderful, wonderful commentary on the book of Ephesians. It's a huge commentary. It's by a professor. His name is Harold Honer. Here's what he said in his commentary on Ephesians, referring to these passages here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Quote, "Since the whole Mosaic law has been rendered inoperative for Jewish and Gentile believers in Christ, it is a false dichotomy to distinguish between the moral and ceremonial laws, making only the ceremonial laws inoperative. Christ is the end of the whole law for believers," according to Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. "And we are no longer under that pedagogue, our teacher," Galatians 3 and verse 25. "In fact, we have died to the law," Romans 7, 1 through 6. Does this mean that there is no laws in the Mosaic law that the believer today is obligated to obey? Only those that have been reiterated in the New Testament. We are under the new covenant, and the old covenant has been done away. We are now under the law of Christ," end quote. Couldn't say it any clearer myself. I really appreciate this individual who so clearly points out how the law of Moses has been rendered inoperative. And the reason why is because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us. So this middle wall of partition spoken of by Paul is now broken down. So to summarize, the entire law of Moses has been rendered inoperative. The law is still in the Word of God. It can be used as a teaching tool to show God's standards, as well as man's sinfulness. It can be used to teach many wonderful spiritual truths. However, it has completely ceased to function as an authority over a believer in Christ. And that's the point that I want to emphasize. There is no aspect of the law of Moses that a believer is commanded to follow. So since the law of Moses has been rendered operative, and I want to emphasize this, does that mean that we are without any law? Can we simply do as we please as believers? If the law of Moses is no longer in effect, what law is in effect for us as believers in Christ? Well, we have finally gotten to that place that I have been anticipating for a long time. And if this is your first time, there's a lot of material that led up to this, because now we're going to begin talking about what the New Testament calls the law of Christ. We are not left without a law. As believers in the Lord Jesus, we are not left to do as we please. Yes, we have freedom. Yes, we are free from the law of Moses. We have died to the law of Moses. There's no aspect of the law of Moses that we are commanded to follow and that we are under. However, that does not mean that we are lawless. It doesn't mean that we can do as we please. So let me just ask this question. Does the New Testament speak of a new law that the believer is under as opposed to the law of Moses? I would answer yes. I believe it's called what the New Testament calls the law of Christ. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. There's that term right there, the law of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 2 through 4. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus," gives it another flavor to it, referring to the Holy Spirit. "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." That's the law of Moses. "For what the law could not do," that's the law of Moses, "weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So I do believe that now, as New Testament believers, whether you're coming from a Jewish background or whether you're coming from a Gentile background, we are now under the law of Christ. I want you to know that there is a lot of confusion out there among Jewish and Gentile believers. As I travel around the country, I can't begin to tell you how many believers that I've come in contact with who are coming from a Gentile background who are into almost hyper-Judaism. They're putting themselves under the law of Moses. They want to learn about what it means to be Jewish. And I'm thinking, why do you want to do that? Learn about your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, all those things that were gained to me, the fact that I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the tribe of Benjamin, he says, I've counted all of those things as loss, so that I may learn of my Savior, the Lord Jesus. He wasn't concerned about learning and maintaining his Jewishness. He wanted to learn more and more and more about who Jesus was. And I would say that to these individuals who are hung up in trying to almost put themselves under Judaism, thinking that they're going to learn more about the Bible if they do that. I would advise them to put all of that aside, as Paul did, and get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the important thing. I was born Jewish, and I had no idea what that meant. Didn't mean a thing to me as I was growing up. After I became a believer and started reading the Bible, I said, what's all this Jewish stuff in the Bible? I didn't realize there was so many Jewish things in here. And I began to understand that, yes, and I do appreciate my Jewish heritage, but that's not what I focus on. I want to focus on the person of the Lord Jesus. So when I meet these Gentile believers that are putting themselves under the law of Moses, they won't eat pork, they won't do certain things. Hey, I got news for you. It's not only eating pork. If you want to make this thing work, you can't have lobster or shrimp or catfish either, because those too would be considered unclean. So we can't just take a portion of it here and a bit here and think that, oh, look, I'm trying to keep the law of Moses. It's either all or none. And as I said, it's far more than just the Ten Commandments and trying to keep a kosher diet law. You know, it's so deeply involved. And now I come in contact with people who are getting into these Jewish places, and now they're not even celebrating Easter. They're not even celebrating Christmas, but they'll celebrate all of the Jewish holidays. And I'm thinking, why are you doing that? Nothing wrong with celebrating. We have a Passover Seder. We talk about Hanukkah and things along those lines because they have a wonderful way of portraying and pointing to the Lord Jesus. But to not celebrate his resurrection, I think that's going way, way overboard. So this is why this study, I feel, is very, very important. It's two-pronged, the way I see it. It's important to try to help our unsaved Jewish acquaintances come to an understanding that the law of Moses was never given to bring about salvation. But the other prong is I'm trying to help and instruct our Gentile believers and even some Jewish believers that have gone way overboard into trying to think that it's by placing ourselves under the law of Moses that this is something which is binding for us today, to try to bring some clear instruction as to what the Word of God has to say concerning this. So I'm going to continue on now with this idea of the law of Christ. And the first biblical fact about the law of Christ is this. The Mosaic law and the law of Christ contain many similar commands. And one reason why I believe there is so much confusion in the minds of many about the relationship of the law of Moses and the law of Christ that's found in the New Testament is because many of the commandments are similar to one another. As I've stated before, 9 of the 10 commandments are carried over into the law of Christ from the law of Moses. But here's a very, very important thing to keep in mind. They are not carried over as a continuation of the law of Moses, but as the new law of Christ. The law of Moses has been rendered inoperative. Let me give you an example. Whatever state you live in, I live in the state of Missouri. I have a Missouri driver's license. I am obligated to keep the laws, the driving laws in the state of Missouri. However, I just drove down to Florida recently. I had to obey those laws when I was in a different state, even though I had a driver's license in my pocket from the state of Missouri. Now, one thing that I noticed was this. Some of the laws in the state of Missouri were the exact same laws in other states, but some are different. And when you're in the new state, which laws do you have to obey? Do you obey the laws of driving that are in Missouri because you have a Missouri driver's license in your pocket? No. You obey the laws in whichever state you are driving in. Some of them are similar, but some of them are different. Some of the laws of Moses are similar to the laws of Christ, but we're no longer in the law of Moses. We are in the law of Christ. Those of you that were coming from a Gentile background were never in the law of Moses because it wasn't given to you. As we have already established, the law of Moses, the Mosaic law, was given to who? It was given to Israel, not to the Gentile nations, nor was it given to the church. If you are a member of the church, by personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a local church. I'm talking about the body of Christ. If you are a member of that by personal faith in the Lord Jesus, then you are under a new law, the law of Christ. When I drive in the state of Missouri, I must follow those laws. But if I'm in another state, I've got to follow those laws. Even though some of the laws are similar from one state to another, some of them might be different. For example, I can make right turns on red, but did you know that in some states, you can't do that? And if you're in those states, you better not do it, because if you do it, you'll get stopped. And if you get stopped and you say to the officer, but wait a minute, I'm from the state of Missouri, and in Missouri, you're allowed to turn right on red. But he'll say, well, wait a minute, you're not in Missouri, so you just broke the law. That's the point. Even though some of the laws from the Mosaic law are similar to those in the law of Christ, they are not carried over as a continuation of the law of Moses. That has been rendered inoperative. When you're driving in another state, it doesn't matter that you are from Missouri. You are obligated to keep the laws in that new state. We are now in Christ. We need to keep the laws that are now in the law of Christ as found in the New Testament. So our focus should be on the commandments that are found in the law of Christ. The law of Christ contains all the individual commands of Jesus and the apostles that are applicable to us as believers. They're found in the New Testament. And just as the law of Moses was only given to a specific group, the Jewish people, the law of Christ has been given to a specific group of people. Guess who? True believers in Jesus. If you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's the law you follow, the law of Christ. And even though some of the commandments might be similar to those that are found in the law of Moses, they don't continue on as a continuation of the law of Moses. They are carried over into a completely new law, the law of Christ. Listen to some of these verses. Hopefully this will clarify it for you. John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." John chapter 15 and verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, "And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24, "The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." And listen to this, "His commandments are not burdensome." That's one of the exact opposite characteristics of the law of Moses. It was a burden. That's exactly what Jesus said. But his commandments are not burdensome. Well, there's some other verses that I'm going to give, but our time is really short, and I hesitate giving them because I don't even think I'll be able to read them and get through them in time. So I'm going to stop here, and next time we'll go back and review a little bit because we're talking about this most important section now, the law of Christ. And again, the reason why I'm trying to emphasize this, two reasons. One, because of the confusion that our Jewish friends have concerning the law of Moses. They believe that if they try to keep it to the best of their ability, that's how they establish a right relationship with God. We want to let them know that the Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, the Bible says it's impossible to experience justification by keeping the law of Moses, even though there are some, and I'll use it in quotes, evangelical pastors who are saying that very thing. And another reason why I'm emphasizing these things is because a lot of well-meaning, dear believers coming from a non-Jewish background have gotten this idea that they need to almost attach themselves to Judaism, to Jewish thinking and so forth. And because of that, they're putting themselves under the law. They're following certain rules and regulations as outlined by the law of Moses. And they're just heaping upon themselves a burden that we have been redeemed from. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law and all that it entails. We're under a wonderful new law, a new set of commandments that are not burdensome, it says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. Well, our time is gone, but I ask you, please write to us at MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006, or log on to our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. If you do write to us, request a set of these notes. I'd like to make them available to you along with our evangelistic magazine and a sampling of our tracts. And I'm not specifying how much for you to send in. From your heart, please be generous to help us with these radio programs and the literature that we're sending out. And again, I hope that these are helpful to you. I hope that this will free you from your understanding of what the purpose of the law is. Well, until next time, may God bless you.
Messianic Voice with Marty Zide is the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis. Our goal is to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone, but with special emphasis on God's chosen people. If you'd like to know how to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors, or understand better what God's Word says about Israel and the Jewish people, check out the resources we've made available at our website. Simply log on at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You'll find books, videos, and audio material designed to assist in your evangelism efforts and your personal spiritual growth. Inquire about our evangelistic magazine featuring testimonies of Jewish believers. We offer home Bible studies, Jewish evangelism seminars, and free tracts that you may pass along to your Jewish friends. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org or write to us at MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. And be sure to request a copy of Evangelistic Magazine. Once again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We appreciate you spending this time with us today and invite you to join us again next time as we proclaim Jesus as Messiah on The Messianic Voice.